talk to us now and go to the TNT Radio Interactive live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT. Interviews, news, and views. This is State of the Nation with Steve Hook and Brian McClain. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome to State of the Nation on TNT Radio with Steve Hook and myself, Brian McClain. We're live from Central Texas and New Jersey. I'm out here in Texas. Steve's out there in New Jersey. Visit us on the web, tntradio.live. That's where you find all the good stuff. We got our calendar up there, which you might want to check out because we just finished the final phase of daylight savings changes here in the United States. I think that gets us caught up with the rest of our TNT colleagues around the globe. We are worldwide live 24/7. Steve Hook, welcome to a revamped State of the Nation. It's wonderful to have you here.
Yes. It's wonderful to be here with you, Escher. And it was funny because for the last month or two, we've been saying the Steve Hook and the Brian McClain show. So now we have an official show name, and it's good. And I know that you hosted the original incarnation of State of the Nation, and now we are back to it. And I'm thrilled about it, man. It's good to be with you, brother.
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Steve. I hope you had a great weekend. I had a great one out here. Big shout out to a couple of my friends that I got to hang out with this weekend, some of whom you've heard here on TNT before, like Ruckus and Infidel Pharaoh and Grunt. But yeah, had a great weekend, got some of my colleagues and friends together, and man, it is great to be back in the State of the Nation hot seat with you, Steve. So, real quick, I got this headline for you I wanted to throw your way. Electric vehicle manufacturers losing money despite record sales. How are they losing money if they have record sales? Well, they hit another sales record. High production costs and a dwindling new customer base have spawned increasing corporate losses, though, forcing EV manufacturers to scale back on their plans to expand the market. I'm actually a little bit excited about this one, Steve. I love it when the EV force, I don't have a problem with EVs. I just don't like the idea of being forced into them, which is pretty much what they're telling us they're going to do to us here in the United States, especially if you're in California or some other states. But man, that's pretty good news.
I think it's great news. And I also think that, you know, the whole EV push and the green energy push, we've talked about it before. It's a watermelon. It's green on the outside. It's red on the inside. It's all about destroying our energy sector. Biden has, well, I would say single-handedly, but we all know he's a puppet. But that cabal has done a pretty good job of it. And also, in a related topic, you know, Hesh, and we featured on this program, we'd talked in the past about the big windmill thing that was going off the eastern seaboard, all these massive wind farms that were going to be built. And people thought, oh, it's going to be innocuous, be a couple of hundred feet tall. No, each one was going to be taller than the Eiffel Tower, and there were scheduled to be about 2,800 of them. It's all blown up in the face of our horse-tooth jackass governor, Phil Murphy, and that these companies are pulling out left and right. Public outcry about dead whales and porpoises and migratory seabirds washing up on the shore didn't help matters any. So the green energy march has been slowed considerably. And I'm happy for it.
Yeah, definitely. We're seeing behind the green mask. That's a subtle shout out to Rosa Corey there. Rest in peace. And I'm really happy about that, too. We really need to get the message out about wind power because it's garbage.
Well, it's garbage. And not only is it garbage, for one, it can't produce enough energy. Yeah, and you mentioned this a week or so ago, and every time I hear it, and I've known it, but every time I hear somebody say it out loud, it makes me crack up. These are all backed up by diesel fuel engines. So if the wind's not blowing, it's like the lawnmower. You pull the cord and hope the diesel engine starts up. And they can't provide enough energy for what we apparently need them for. I mean, it's just insanity. And it's obviously a big power grab. And frankly, it's a money grab. The grid won't support it. If we all went to EV cars tomorrow, we would all be suffering a blackout tomorrow. because there's not enough electricity on the grid to power everybody.
Right. Or we'd all be buying bicycles and skateboards, Steve.
Now, that's what they want. That's what they'd love that. They would love that.
I think you're right. I saw a video out of L.A., just a random social media video out of L.A., and this guy was driving past the EV charging center. I think it was a bank of Tesla chargers, you know, and there's about 10 of them, I'd say. Every single one of them had a car attached to it. But the kicker was, as he kept driving, he filmed the line of cars that were queuing up to charge their EVs behind it. And it was, I don't know, hard to say when you're watching a video, but it felt like about at least 24 cars, maybe a quarter mile or so of people queued up to charge their EVs. I mean,
it sounds so convenient, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound convenient? Because I'm driving from my home in Central Jersey on the Jersey Shore, and I want to go see my family in Atlanta. And I only need to make about 3 stops and wait an hour to an hour and a half at each stop for my car to charge. It's the idiocy is profound, but they don't really think logically, do they?
No, not at all. Hey, if you missed your favorite TNT radio show or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT radio website. We're also on all the major podcast platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, TuneIn, and more. So there's no reason to miss out on anything on TNT Radio.
Keeping the commitment 24/7.
I come to you for facts. I really appreciate what you and your team do.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
On Monday, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention announced that it would be increasing its airport surveillance for respiratory infections. Wow, they're really good at that, aren't they? Here with the story, joining us now is TNT radio news producer Adam Clark. Ruckus, I don't need the CDC muddling in my air travel. What does this affect all of us? What's going on here?
Well, we absolutely need them doing this, Hesher. This is like the absolute best way to get a handle on all of those scary emerging pathogens through leveraging the power of things like voluntary, I like that, at least for now, nasal scrapages, testing. And of course, we got to test everybody's poop water. So this is going to be taking place at airports. But this is actually in conjunction with a private partner. So pull out your bingo cards, everybody. And if you are a betting man, I'm guessing that people like Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab have already invested years ago in this private firm, who is, by the way, Ginkgo Bioworks. Love it. They said that they are expanding its work with the CDC's traveler-based genomic surveillance program. That sounds so fun. Quote, to test more than 30 additional priority pathogens in addition to, of course, SARS-CoV-2, end quote. The virus that caused the whole world to shut down, otherwise known as COVID-19. It then described the program as a, quote, flexible multimodal platform that consists of 3 complementary approaches of sample collection from arriving international travelers at U.S. airports, including voluntary nasal swabbing, aircraft wastewater, and airport wastewater sampling to enhance early detection of new SARS-CoV-2 variants and other pathogens and fills gaps in global surveillance, end quote. What are these other scary pathogens we must be concerned about? Well, according to the company, the other pathogens that it said it will be testing for include multiple influenza strains, as well as respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, and it did not list the others. So it's a mystery. Wonderful. Let's quote from the statement here. Who said this? This was Dr. Cindy Friedman, chief of the CDC Travelers Health Branch, quoting her, quote, the expansion of the traveler-based genomic surveillance program to flu, RSV, and other pathogens is essential as we head into fall respiratory season. I thought it was pumpkin spice season. Sorry. She goes on to say, quote, the TGS program, which began during the COVID-19 pandemic, acted as an early warning system to detect new and rare variants of the SARS-CoV-2 virus and will do the same for other respiratory viruses going forward, end quote. The Travelers program was introduced, no surprise here, in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic to detect variants and other pathogens via the nasal swab and wastewater collection sampling. It allowed for, quote, the early detection of the SARS-CoV-2 variant BA286 entering the United States within days of its global identification, end quote. That's according to the CDC, and was, of course, referring to the COVID variant that was found over the summer of 2023. Furthermore, quote, as the infected traveler had originated travel in Japan, this finding also informed the public health community that the new variant had also spread to Asia, end quote. Yeah, wonderful. This involves, according to this report here, the CDC's program has, quote unquote, enrolled more than 360,000 air travelers since it was implemented in late 2021. And the agency added that it is both, quote, voluntary and anonymous, end quote. Uh-huh. It covers flights from more than 135 countries around the entire globe or world. Other than Ginkgo Bioworks, there's another winner here. We have Express Check. That's X-P-R-E-S Check, a company that runs spa operations at airports, and they are going to partake in the program. I don't even want to know what that means, but you guys want to expand upon why a spa service would be involved in this sampling? But what do you guys think about this one?
I didn't know there were spas at airports. I mean, have you ever been to a spa at an airport?
No. I've seen the massage chairs. Is that the spa?
Maybe, you know, I got an idea. Maybe they should take, what's the name of the company, Ginkgo or whatever. Maybe they should go down to the southern border and say, you know, we're going to swab all your noses. That might be a safer use of this medical technology to find out what's actually crossing our southern borders. Or maybe they could take it to Lake Mead. Did you hear about that? Lake Mead in Arizona has been shut down because of an abundance of fecal bacteria. Makes you want to go water skiing on Lake Mead, huh?
I thought you were going to say an abundance of corpses. Isn't that the one they keep finding, like mobster corpses and random people probably. Have been murdered in the 70s as it dries up?
Yeah, perhaps so. I don't know. But I mean, I live in New Jersey. We have enough corpses. But I do know that Lake Mead in Arizona, the part of Lake Mead that is in Arizona, was shut down over the weekend for fear of too much, an overabundance of fecal bacteria, which is just disgusting on every possible level. But you know, there it is. So,
yeah. Well, I'm looking at Express Check. So on their website, they've actually got Express Spa, which I guess before this big influx of money was their main thing. But now up in the main menu, they have Express Check also. And it lists part of their website looks as though it was built for them by the CDC. Obviously a big injection of money to that little piece of airport there. It's almost sort of like a, hey, maybe we can help you guys out. How's that spa working out? Is that profitable? Would you guys like to maybe open up a COVID swab area in there perhaps and push some CDC propaganda, you know, our genome? What do they mean by genomic surveillance program? Also, I flagged that up, Ruckus. I mean, genomic surveillance program makes you wonder, are they kind of saying one of the things that's happening right there in the name of the program? We know they like to collect genomic information from people they swab and stuff like this, you know, and that, you know, that early detection of the SARS-CoV-2 variant BA2.86, we've renamed that one after a couple of our guests came in and said, hey, that's actually BS2.86. So I think I'm going to stick with that. I mean, that whole, all this variant stuff is chicanery in my estimation. So, yeah, I don't know, Ruckus, what do you think? Are they, is this sort of a double inverted reach around of finances and just, you know, another way to promote the pandemic industrial complex?
I think it's a black box technology false flag scam. wrap your head around that one. I think,
but here's the thing: you can rest assured that millions of dollars will be made.
Yes,
millions of dollars will be made. Yes,
I believe with the fancy naming of this thing, like the traveler-based genomic surveillance program, it's just a fancy, sciencey sounding thing that if you probably investigated it, you'd realize, wow, this is really kind of like throwing spaghetti on a wall and seeing which noodle sticks. So, I think it's just an excuse for them so that if ever they want to restrict travel between point A and point B, they can say, oh, look, we have proof from our traveler-based genomic surveillance program that this disease is coming from here, traveling there. And for the next 2 weeks, there's no travel here and there. So I just think it's more excuse for control that they can point to it and say, ha-ha, we found it. We found it. What is it? We'll never know.
Yeah. That's exactly
how
we
survived all these years. I don't know how we've survived all these years. How have we?
Right. How did we do it without someone in a little spacesuit going through and collecting pieces of toilet matter from flights and airports to tell us if we'd be okay or not? I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Maybe they should go to the streets of San Francisco. That might.
There you go. Actually, they are out there in their little spacesuits testing, but they don't want to give us those results.
Hosing down the,
Right, full of tuberculosis and, you know, bubonic plague and stuff like that. All right, thanks, Ruckus. We'll talk to you again real soon here on State of the Nation at today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
You should hear what Greg Maybury is talking about.
One of my favorite writers, a guy called John Ralston Saul, once said, it's curious just how easily our elites set about serving only themselves, even if it means they or the society will self-destruct. Now, never before, in my opinion, has this assessment of history and humanity carried with it as much ominous portent. It's difficult not to see that same history repeating itself before our eyes. More than just repeating itself, it appears to be tripping over itself. It'd be difficult to overstate the precarious situation in which the world finds itself at present. Placing to one side, for the moment, the specifics of what happened on October the 7th, if there ever was such a thing as the rules-based international order, now's the time for those in the West who triumphantly espouse the legitimacy of this framework for global governance and stability to step forward and apply those rules and secure that order, to achieve once and for all a lasting, just, and truly equitable peace in Palestine for the Palestinians and the region in general.
The No-Fly Zone with Greg Maybury on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Take us back in time. And who was Mike Flynn?
He was the National Security Advisor to the President.
Why is it that they go after me so hard? Why me? Why does Barack Obama only talk about two people, to the incoming President of the United States?
When I was sentenced, the judge says, you have been convicted of lying to cover up for Donald Trump. To which I say, cover up what? Russian collusion? There was no Russian collusion to cover up.
We see in today's current scenario with President Joe Biden, who came in with high expectations, that he has been viewed as divisive.
And we're committed to advancing transgender equality in the classroom.
The liberal media say, well, this is his love for his son, and yes, he's going to protect his son. But let me tell you, a lot of fathers love their sons, but their sons had to go to jail when they broke the law.
This moment, people see a lot of those telltale signs of a far left drift to the country.
Whether you're talking about socialism or you're talking about communism, socialism is just a kinder cousin of communism, but the goal is the same, for the state to have control of every aspect of your life.
We have multiple hearings on different agencies that have actually just gone rogue.
They took fewer men in the takedown of El Chapo than they did to arrest me.
And Comey went back to his organization and brought his other thugs together to basically give them the ground rules. Okay, here's what we're gonna do. And now I need some ideas about how to execute this, basically this act of treason.
I think we all know, James Comey, that you're a great storyteller because you made up the entire story about Crossfire Hurricane. So it's really fitting that a criminal like yourself wrote a crime novel. Do you remember me? Remember me from your book signing?
It doesn't matter whether they're Republican or Democrat. People will sell their soul to obtain an ounce of political power in Washington, D.C.
I don't even know that draining the swamp is the appropriate metaphor anymore after what we've seen these last 4 years. We need basically an exorcism in Washington, D.C.
When, you know, Satan is tempting Jesus in the desert, I'll give you all the riches of the world. I'll give you everything. All you have to do is bow to me. That's what Barack Obama has done. That's what Jim Comey has done. That's what these bastards have done.
The Fall of Deceit at SalemNow.com.
It sounds pretty good.
It sounds real, dude.
Not bad, huh?
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, you're listening to State of the Nation with Steve Hook and Brian McClain, and we are very happy to welcome our first guest today, Jason Shepherd. Jason is, he's a founder of Wimcom Social Media. He's an entrepreneur and a free speech advocate, and he's basically watching out for all the for all of us that like to get real news without being handed a bunch of misinformation and blacklisted crap, and we're going to remove your post because we don't like what you say. And with what's going on in the world today, especially in light of the war between Israel and Hamas, it's important that we get the proper information, and we welcome Jason to the show now. Jason Shepherd, hello there. Welcome to State of the Nation. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, we're happy to have you. And I love the whole basically the premise of why you started your outfit, Wimcom Social Media, because we have seen over the last several years now that government collusion, to use a word, a popular phrase, with big tech has really gotten in the way of people finding out some cold, hard truths. And it's also kept some cold, hard truths away from people. How's it going now, do you suspect, with social media and, for that matter, big media in general, Jason?
Well, I mean, to be quite honest with you, I think it got a little better once Twitter released their Twitter files, obviously. I mean, I think most of us knew that something was definitely wrong, but I wasn't under the impression that the FBI actually had residency in their office. I mean, it seems like they were paying rent there, for God's sakes. But I think that helped a little bit. But, you know, with this desperation we're seeing from the left, you know, obviously with the Trump indictments and, you know, just what we've seen, obviously, with COVID and all the, you know, the censorship from there, I think it's going to get really bad in 2024, to be quite honest with you. And I think we're, you know, seeing that right now, first and foremost, with what they're trying with the Restrict Act. And then also in Europe, the European Union, they have what's called the Digital Services Act, and they're trying to find, you know, up to 10% of your, you know, global annual revenue if you, you know, allow posts that they deem to be misinformation. So we're kind of at a crossroads right now. I thought the Judge Doughty ruling, you know, in the Biden administration was going to really help as well. But, you know, they're going to appeal that all the way to the Supreme Court. And who knows what they're going to throw at us, Steve, to be quite honest.
Yeah. It's, you know, this idea of misinformation is the big thing at hand here. You know, we've seen their attempts at setting up a disinformation board here in the United States. Of course, the Restrict Act, which you mentioned, all of these things, a death knell to freedom of speech, especially when you've got, you know, people like, I don't know if I'll pronounce the name right, but Thierry Breton, from the European Union's Digital Services Act. Who is qualified to make such a determination as to whether something is quote unquote misinformation or not?
Yeah, that's, I actually did an article for The Blaze that asked that exact question there. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, you know, you have these same individuals that are watching, you know, the BBC and all the other, you know, the CNNs of the world, the MSNBCs, and, you know, these mainstream media that literally leaks out, you know, misinformation and disinformation on a daily basis just to advance their narrative. So you would think that this Thierry Breton and, you know, these other czars, as I will call them, in terms of, you know, censorship, you know, you would think they would hold them accountable as well. But it's only for what they say is censorship. And I don't know how to answer your question there, Brian, because I don't know who's qualified to say that. I mean, every single person in the world should be entitled to their own beliefs and their own, you know, opinions on something. And if we're not allowed to even see it to formulate an opinion, that there's just something inherently wrong with that.
Very inherently wrong. I think it's abundantly clear. Who watches the watchers? Who fact checks the fact checkers? We've seen over the last several years, especially in the run-up to the 2020 election and beyond, we've seen some of these fact checkers get called out, and even so much as to the point that Zuckerberg came out and basically said, hey, look, the fact is a lot of these fact checkers, yeah, it's their opinion. kind of flies in the face of fact checking, doesn't it, when you're saying they're using their own opinion?
Yeah, and he actually admitted that on the floor of Congress. I mean, so yeah. Hopefully everyone was able to hear that. And obviously, I know we did the best to push that. But yeah, I mean, it's to the point, you know, it comes down to money with these individuals. I mean, all these super PACs and everything, they're probably, you know, early investors in Facebook. You know, it all comes down to that. And then, you know, realistically, I don't believe that anybody has the right to say, you know, what you can and can't post. WMKN, it stands for World Must Know Now, by the way. We just couldn't put WMKN in the App Store because the FCC said their call letters. So, but it stands for that in honor of free speech. But we got started with this. And, you know, when we did, guys, we were shut down in the app stores within our first 5 months. We were blamed for the insurrection, banned from our server companies, from our DNS registrars. And, you know, it's not an easy thing when the entire, you know, collective left here, which is mainstream media, big tech, and the government are against you.
Yeah,
definitely. Now, Jason, we want to hear a little bit more about your experience with that, but hold the line. We have a headline inbound right here at Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Now.
News.
Big news.
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Former President Trump is taking the stand today to testify about the truthfulness evaluations of Trump family assets and financial statements provided to Deutsche Bank and other lenders. Just Stop Oil protesters stormed the National Gallery using hammers to smash a painting depicting the suffragette movement, whilst also targeting Whitehall in a series of coordinated attacks. Tesla is planning to release an electric car with a price point of around £21,645.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa. Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
Jason Shepherd is our guest from WMKN.com. Now, Jason, I'm looking at what happened to WMKN, and my goodness, you had big tech block your emails, block your password resets, DNS provider canceled your domain name, Google Ad and AdSense removed monetization, Facebook and Twitter banned you, PayPal, Capital One cut you off. Now, this is pretty amazing because we're told when there's a hubbub about the main big tech platforms out of Silicon Valley that they're a private company and that they can do what they want. But if I look over here at Name Redacted on Twitter, I see that at Meta itself, I'll pick on Meta, there are 14 former CIA agents, 26 former FBI, 16 former NSA, 29 former DHS, 32 former State Department, and 49 former DOD employees. Are those actually private companies? And why are you not treated the same way they are?
Yeah, you know what, to be honest with you, I really believe that the government was, you know, played a pivotal role in building these social media platforms. I mean, if you really think about it, how really far-fetched is it to state that you're going to put a feature on something where you have, you know, billions of Americans on it, and obviously all over the world, that, you know, has a check-in feature so you can be seen, you know, obviously wherever you are at any given moment. I mean, it's spyware. It's there's a lot of different things on that. Obviously, the targeted ads and what it actually does, and you know, how it breaches your data privacy. I mean, I wouldn't put it behind, you know, any of these companies to actually, you know, be legitimately hand in hand working with, you know, all these ABC agencies that you mentioned.
Well, there's no doubt that they were with the FBI. Good God, the Twitter files blew that right out of the water. I mean, Matt Taibbi and Schellenberger and Barry Weiss, they basically said, hey, man, the FBI basically had a room and board in, you know, at Twitter. It's just absurd. And of course, I can answer Hesher's question why they came after you and not them, because they've got millions, billions of dollars and you don't. They're just stepping on the little guys, what it sounds like.
You're 100% right. I mean, we were number one in both app stores when we were banned. So, you know, they saw something because the way Wimkin is set up, guys, it's like a Facebook meets a Twitter, meets a YouTube, and also meets a TikTok. We have all those features on our platform. So, you know, it's something where you can disseminate a lot of information in mass, and they didn't want us growing. And then, you know, when we finally beat our app store bans, 2 months after this, the select committee comes in and Benny Thompson sends us demand letters himself, asking for every piece of information on every one of our users. So it just never Good stops, Lord. Let me tell you.
Well, and how did you respond to that, by the way, Jason?
Yeah. So how we responded to that, first and foremost, so Wimkin, the only thing that we actually do have, just for security reasons, is an IP address when people log in. We don't verify emails. We don't take, you know, phone number signups. We don't have any of the information they wanted. They were asking for credit cards. I mean, it was absolutely insane what they were asking for. And you know what I can do is I can share you the letters that they sent to us. But we responded to them. The most egregious thing is they wanted us to define what we thought misinformation and disinformation was. And we just said, we are not able to help you. If you have something on a specific user, you're welcome to come and ask us about that. But we are not going to do your investigation for you, nor are we going to sit here and tell you all of our platform secrets and give information on people that we just don't have.
Good yeah. God.
That's great. Good that's God. That's actually really amazing. I mean, that's a very standout feature right there to not do this. I mean, I tried to buy a mouse pad the other day and I was just not, I wasn't paying good attention. And I realized halfway through the purchase that I was buying it through a Meta product and I was like, oh no, eject, eject. I don't want them to have my credit card on file. This is a total accident. But Jason, I'm curious, you know, we mentioned the European Union Digital Services Act. There's a similar thing in Canada. There's similar things in Australia, New Zealand. What's your overall take on these sweeping Internet Security Acts? Where are they heading, and what are the pitfalls for people like you and people like us and you out there listening who enjoy your freedom of speech?
Well, so obviously, I don't think that's going to get any better. You know, I think now if we have, you know, Republican win in 2024 in the United States, things will certainly get a lot better for us here. Now, you know, when it comes to, I mean, Australia had some of the most draconian lockdown rules and, you know, censorship rules. I mean, it seems like everybody's sort of trying to follow the China rule where, you know, they are going to limit what people can actually do on the internet in their country. And, you know, you did mention the Restrict Act here in the United States. You know, that is coined as the TikTok bill, which is actually a good thing. And that's where it should stop because, you know, realistically, TikTok is a national security risk. I mean, they have your fingerprint, they have your facial recognition, they have pretty much everything that you have on that phone they're going to get from you. So I'm a big fan of actually banning TikTok, and especially because, you know, these children are getting hurt and dying, you know, because of these challenges that are going viral and things. But I really think that the way that social media should work is our three simple rules: no pornography, no nudity, and no posts with any type of criminal element. So you can't go on there and say, I'm coming to your house to beat you up or worse or things of that nature. You can't sell drugs. You know, there's a lot of certain things that are just common sense. But that's really where we draw the line, guys. And I think that's what every social media company should do. But they are really the thought police now. They are out there and they are going to probably get a lot worse through 2024.
I know, you know, I'll just say this. We don't have a lot of time left, Jason, but, you know, the Fairness Doctrine was introduced here in the United States way back in 1949. A lot of people think it's relatively new. It's not. It's old, but it's been, Reagan, of course, reeled it in, and a lot of politicians became a hot potato for him for a long time. And this is just kind of the next incarnation of the Fairness Doctrine. And I guess they are just frightened to death of the reach that social media has. And therefore they're like, well, this is like something we've never seen before. We've got to rein it in. And yet Section 230 is still on the books. Yep. And so, I mean, it seems to me that their argument is incongruent, and it kind of goes both ways. Whatever they want, they get, you know, we win, you know, they win and we lose no matter what.
No, I agree with you 100%. And that's why, again, I thought that, I mean, when you have on July 4th, a federal judge, you know, actually issue an order that says the Biden administration was violating pretty much all Americans' First Amendment rights, you know, I thought that was going to be a really big statement win for us. And then it, obviously they appealed to the Supreme Court and they upheld a lot of it, but obviously not everything. But, you know, we need to continue this. We need to continue getting, you know, people to sue the government, sue these, you know, big tech companies and really continue to push, because freedom of speech is so important. I mean, it's the foundation of our country, first and foremost. And, you know, we cannot live in a world where people are just letting you see what they want you to see and, you know, pretty much consume what they want you to consume. It's like out of a sci-fi movie, isn't it? It really is.
Yeah. Sounds a lot like China, North Korea. Sounds like a police state is what it sounds like.
Yes, it does.
Absolutely. We're not going to have any sort of great reset or anything like that in America and still be America. That's just the bottom line on that one. Well, let's see here. We do have to let you go in a moment here, but I really want to get everybody to check out Wimkin.com. You can head on over there and sign up now. They've got a Patriot Marketplace, a place to advertise. They've got videos, groups, pages, polls, all the great stuff that you could want from a social media application. I'm going to have to get in there and sign up. Man, you were so demonized. I was almost afraid, but now I feel compelled to get in there and create an account.
Well, thank you, guys. And you know what? Doing these interviews, almost it seems like every single person that I actually interview by, they end up joining Wimkin because, you know, you can live stream your shows there for up to 3 hours long. So, you know, and you can upload up to 50 gigabyte videos. So, you know, people are uploading their podcasts daily. People are live streaming daily. So there is definitely a lot to offer there. And the one thing that no one can ever say about us is that we are 100% truthful and we stand up for our users' voices. That's for sure.
Here, here. Well, good for you. I hope it's growing, Jason. I hope it continues to grow.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Yeah, we cracked over 9 million users, and that I think we'd probably be near 50 to 100 at this point in time if the app stores didn't actually shut us down at our, you know, within our first 5 months of existence. So, but we are back in the app stores as well. We ended up beating them at their game. So, you know, you can also download the app as well.
All right. Here. Excellent. Full featured. All right. At Wimkin, that's W-I-M-K-I-N, official on Twitter or X. Also, Jason Shepard, thanks. We'll look forward to having you back with us again very soon here on Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
A lot is being made of the big storms that are slamming the United Kingdom right now, but they are an interesting precursor to the winter. Back in the winter of 2009-2010, major storms started pounding away in Northwest Europe, and then eventually they spread inland during the month of November. And what that was a signal of was that the upper air jet stream was beginning to cut underneath, beginning to look for its winter position. Now, last year, much of the time, it went up to the north of everybody, so it was a very warm winter across much of Europe. But this year, it looks like it's going to cut into the south, and it's going to be blocking over the top. What's blocking? Well, that's high pressure that tries to develop over Scandinavia and back toward Greenland, which turns the mean wind more northeast than normal across much of northern Europe into the UK, and leads to the colder winter. So the big rainstorms don't just mean it's raining now. They may mean something later on down the road and may not be rain. This is TNT climate and weather watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
Hi, I'm Abel.
I often forget to mention that he's an amputee because Abel will try any activity he can.
My arm helps me with basically everything.
He doesn't see what he can't do, he sees what he can do.
Yeah, okay. This is helping.
The War Amps has just given him the ability to do all the activities every kid can do.
When you donate to the War Amps, you help kids like me. Thank you!
This is State of the Nation on Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
You've heard of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab and his ghoul council of globalists bent on enacting a so-called Great Reset. Some might think there needs to be an analog to the WEF, that it's invested in finding a better way forward, and that the Alliance for Responsible Citizenship is just that. But is it? Or is it another version of the WEF? Joining us now to discuss is Rick Munn from TNT Radio's Locked and Loaded with Rick Munn. Rick, welcome. It's great to see you. What is the Alliance for Responsible Citizenship? And is it just a WEF cutout?
Oh, it sounds horrible, doesn't it? I don't know about you guys, but I used to work in an office with a sales manager, and he used to come out with a lot of cheesy management speak, which I hate it. And the Alliance for Responsible Citizenship sounds like something my ex-sales manager could have been a part of. So yeah, it's being touted as an alternative to the WEF, in their own words. It's being established as an international community with a vision for a better world where every citizen can prosper, contribute, and flourish. Sounds a little bit like a cult to me, but then what the hell do I know? I'm just an Irishman with a chip on his shoulder.
It does kind of sound, doesn't it? Responsible. Yeah. Who did? It's like we were just talking to Jason Shepherd, Rick, and we were trying to determine who checks the fact checkers. Who determines who's responsible and who's not responsible? That's the question.
Exactly. And I don't know a whole lot about this because I haven't devoted a whole lot of time to research it, but just scratching on the surface, you don't have to dig too deeply before alarm bells start to ring. One of which in particular is this is headed up by none other than Jordan Peterson. And if I can quote him, his own words, I'm just going to quote his own words rather than me making summaries about him. If we are wise, he says, this is a summary of at the end of this ARC forum. If we are wise, faithful, and courageous and responsible, then we can tilt the world towards heaven and away from hell. This is the same Jordan Peterson that said to Netanyahu a few weeks ago, give him hell, raise Gaza to the ground. So he wants to tilt the world away from hell and towards heaven. 2 weeks ago, he wanted to bomb Gaza into hell itself. So mixed messages coming out from Peterson. We'll have a rogues gallery there. There's some very dodgy people. Michael Gove, who was responsible for bringing in COVID vaccine certification in the UK after a trip to Israel some 2.5 years ago to visit, I think it was Naftali Bennett at the time was the PM. He brought that crap back to the UK and implemented. He was a keynote speaker at this, along with some dodgy UK politicians and some unfunny comedians who ridiculed and lambasted those who refused to take the jab 2 short years ago. So it's not off to a good start in my eyes.
There's definitely a rogues gallery there, Steve. I was looking through the names. Dan Crenshaw is in there. He's from Texas right here. I have no good things to say about eye patch Crenshaw.
Well, you know, the thing is, I am reluctant, reticent, you might say, to hand over any kind of authority to somebody on either side. I think the WEF is the worst. I think Klaus Schwab is a Bond villain. And Jordan Peterson, it's funny because I'll watch some of his videos and I'll be going, yeah, that's right, that's right. And then I'll watch another video and go, what the bloody hell is he talking about? Because he's just all over the map. But I don't want Jordan or Klaus to determine whether I'm a responsible global citizen. I mean, that's just rubbish.
It is. Also, they're cloning that WEF to a degree. They have their own young leaders plan as well for this ARC forum. They've got their own young leaders division. It's a specially selected group that get together for this forum, a little bit like Davos that happens every year. They all get specially handpicked and they're brought over there to hear what their illustrious leader said. And Peterson, listen, I never followed him much back in the day. He had a lot of people that thought the sun shone out of his ass. I couldn't quite see why personally myself, but a lot of people are looking for direction. They're looking for a leader, someone to lead them into the promised land. But I hazard to say that Jordan Peterson is not that person. Just recently, he's been pictured wearing these weird suits, like half a suit split in half, like Two-Face. Yeah. If you've seen The Dark Knight with Batman, Harvey Dent, he's a little bit Harvey Dent-esque. And then there's another one he had made up with all these Joker faces inside it as well. And I think he's a little bit unhinged, guys. And I'm not knocking anybody that's suffering from mental health issues, hell's bells. I suffer from it myself, but I would not be urging people to get in line behind the Pied Piper of ARC, aka Jordan Peterson.
Yeah, there's this other clown I flagged up here, one John Howard, second longest serving Australian Prime Minister, having been in office from 96 to 07. He introduced national gun control laws and his government, blah, blah, blah. So you got a gun control guy there. You've got Baroness excuse me, Baroness Helena Morrissey, a financier, campaigner, member of the House of Lords, and she's doing their diversity project. I mean, this all reeks of communitarianism to me.
There's another, I've just pulled a few things here, guys, because there's so much to go through with this in such a short space of time. But at their forum, there was a chap there called, what's his name? Can't even see his name here. Freddie Sayers, who's an ex-YouGov employee. Now, YouGov was a polling platform that was founded in the UK by the ex-vaccine minister Nadeem Zahawi back in the day. So we have an ex-employee of Nadeem Zahawi's talking to a UK politician by the name of Kemi Badenoch. And this is what she says, and I quote, "There is a role for government in shaping culture, and we have become a little bit shy about doing that. However, we must be careful about overcorrecting." Kemi Badenoch says that government interference in culture shaping is actually not a bad thing. So they're laying it out there before us. They're not hiding anything here, guys, straight from the horse's mouth, as it were. So there's enough ammunition there, I would say, to shoot them down if anyone stands up in their defense.
Right. Well, you were talking about Jordan Peterson's wacky suits. Have you guys seen the Davos meeting where they're all wearing what can only be described as almost a Darth Vader-esque cloak with all kinds of symbolism and crap all over it? And Klaus Schwab addresses the crowd and says, "We control the world. We shape the world, those of us in this room." And it, I swear to God, it looks like a scene out of a Bond film. Or maybe a Star Wars film. And all of these megalomaniacal, hands-on, we're going to shape the world types, and I don't care if they're conservative or liberal, that kind of overreach scares the hell out of me, because it always goes wrong somewhere.
Do you know what scares me, guys, about this? It's not actually the ARC Forum. It's not actually the WEF itself. It's the amount of people that actually put their faith in people like that and believe that they are a viable alternative to doing things for themselves, mobilizing in their own communities, taking control over their own lives, that they feel they have to align with either the WEF or, even if this thing was legitimate, which it's not, I don't believe, with the ARC Forum. I mean, I put up a critique of this, and I was surprised that some of the responses. I'll give you one here for an example. I said the ARC citizenship is a rival for the F. It even has its young leaders division. Peterson is involved. Michael Gove is involved. Don't get involved. Enough said. Someone replied back, "I disagree. There are some great thinkers among them. They have a positive message and they're pushing back against the mind virus plaguing the West. If you can point me to a better alternative, I'm all ears." Why are people always looking for alternatives? Why can't they just take control of their own lives and their own destinies? Why do they have to seek an alternative? You know, "I'm deplatformed from this. I need an alternative. I can't talk here. I need an alternative." Just do, be yourself. Stand up. Take a stand in yourself, and people will align with you, like-minded individuals, instead of seeking freaking alternatives all the time. You're always going to be disappointed.
I see Mike Johnson, Speaker Mike Johnson, is in their list also. I find that intriguing. What do you think about that, Rick?
Well, nothing surprises me, Hesher. Nothing surprises me at all. Whenever they say that these guys are a viable alternative for the WEF, and I'm not being funny when I say this, but at least with the WEF, they've laid their cards on the table. You know what they're all about. These guys here are dressing things up, talking about taking on the WEF. Doing what exactly? I think, guys, the problem we're in at the minute, or the mess that we're in at the minute, is so many people believe that online action is the solution to the problems we're facing in the physical world, that they think, well, if I talk online and if I align myself with an online group or TNT Radio or 21st Century Wire or the UK column, whatever it happens to be, then I'm doing my bit. And you are to a degree, but there's no substitute for boots on the ground and physical action in the real world. And I think this forum's just something else that'll suck people into another echo chamber online. We're talking ad nauseum, and absolutely nothing gets done. So I think it's just another echo chamber trap that's being set up to pull people in, hook them and pull them in.
Yeah. So we'll mark you down as skeptical.
Skeptical, yeah. This is all an act, by the way. I've just paid my membership fee and I'll be heading to the conference.
You're one of the young ARC forum members.
You're recruiting, for God's sake.
Yeah, I'm the recruitment officer for Ireland here. I haven't had any success yet. I wonder why.
That's great. Well, listen, I don't know that everybody involved with WEF is bad or good. Same goes for the World Health, World Economic Forum. There may be some good guys and gals in both of these groups. I don't know. The point is, I don't give a damn, because I'm with you, Rick. I think that people, boots on the ground, live your life the way you live it, express your freedom, to your, I tell my kids all the time, don't be taken in by these snake oil salesmen that you see online. Because God knows there's a lot of bad info out there. And I suspect any of these groups, regardless of whether you agree with their quote unquote mission statement, they'll go wrong eventually. They always do.
Yeah. The top of this whole machine over, we need mass noncompliance, physical mass noncompliance in the real world. So petitions are fine. Writing to MPs are fine. Getting together in huge forums online is good if that's what you want to do, but there's no substitute for mass noncompliance. And there has to be a critical mass. There has to be enough people buying into a movement to tip it in the favor of the people doing the overthrowing. I don't think we're at this point yet. And I do believe, guys, that one of the reasons for that is there's just always a new thing coming. There's a new forum being set up. There's a new alternative. There's someone's breaking away from this because it didn't work, and they're going to set up something new, and then they'll bring their people with them into this other echo chamber. So I just believe it's a huge distraction and a huge diversion, and best avoided unless you're networking to fill your own pockets and do a little bit of grifting and shilling and whatnot, then by all means, link up with the ARC.
I think you just nailed it right there. I mean, that's what a lot of these names I see on here are known for, Jordan Peterson included, unfortunately, even though I agree with him on a number of things and, support some of the themes in his books and stuff like this. I mean, when you look at the holistic experience of Jordan Peterson, it's just kind of like, I'm going to keep that at arm's length. Uh-huh. You know, there's something very, very wrong going on there, and some of them are human tragedies, like you pointed out, and it's just like, but he has kind of reached that escape velocity where he has a brand and other people want to ride off of it and attach him to it. But Rick, this really, to me, feels like, to back to your original thesis, this is like a Coke and Pepsi thing, I'm afraid. It's like you got one flavor of globalism and you got another flavor of globalism. And if you're out there looking to swizzle down some globalism, maybe one will feel better to you than the other, but they're both going to make you sick.
That's right. And one thing as well, you make a very good point there about Peterson or anyone else for that matter. Most people in their positions will come out with statements at some point that do make sense and that do help people out. But it's a timely reminder that when Satan tempted Christ in the wilderness, he quoted scripture to him three times. He quoted the book of Deuteronomy and he quoted the book of Psalms to God himself. So remember that saying, guys, even the devil can quote scripture too. So don't be waylaid by sweet talkers. And I'm a little bit of a sweet talker myself, so don't believe me either. You have to dig deep and come to your own conclusions.
Here. That's very well said. I think it is important that everybody does their own research. I've always agreed with that. And it seems to me that Peterson, for example, here's a guy, as I mentioned, there were times when I'd listen to him and I'm going, yeah, he'd be on like the Rogan podcast or something. I'm like, yeah, okay, he's on to something here. Mm-hmm. And then I think he started kind of drinking his own Kool-Aid. He started believing his own hype. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, I think anyone at this point, my own personal take on it is if they're in a position like Peterson's with a stage like his and all of a sudden they do a U-turn, they've either lost it, literally lost it mentally, or they're all compromised. A lot of these guys are fabulously rich. They don't need the extra money. So you have to ask yourself, why are they abandoning all their principles and all the things that they stood up for a very, very long time, very passionately? I believe a lot of people are compromised and there's a lot of dirt flying around and people that would destroy them. So they have no option but to the line. So for me, it's usually one or the other.
I feel that way too oftentimes. And I noticed that the ARC, what they're claiming in their charter really plays on the fear of apocalyptic futures and breakdowns of families and depersoning. This it's like they're trying to create an optimistic vision for people like us who are noting the cultural warfare that we're under and the effects it's having and the trajectory it puts us on. But it just smacks of globalism and communitarianism to me, Rick.
It does, you know, just as we're coming up to time here, if you read back what I said about the Art Forum, and that's their own blurb taken from their own Twitter page. And, you know, it's worth following them to actually see what they're coming out with and what they're saying. But if you read this back just briefly, it's an international community with a vision for a better world where every citizen could prosper, contribute, and flourish. Does that not sound like something that wouldn't be out of place in a Scientology brochure, or if Charles Manson had access to a photocopy back in the day? It's like something he would have not together for the Manson family. That's my reading of it.
absolutely. All right, Rick, well, hey, it's great having you here on State of the Nation with Steve and I. We'll look forward to having you back on again, and man, one of these days I'm gonna have to get out there and go to a death metal show with you. That would be amazing.
Sure.
So
entombed, right. Preferably.
Yes, absolutely. We'll see Entombed. That would be amazing. All right, Rick Munn, check out Locked and Loaded with Rick Munn right here on TNT Radio. Check the schedule up there. Thanks, Rick. And
Thanks, Rick.
Stick around. We'll be back with more State of the Nation on the other side of these words from TNT Radio.